Welcome to the Pursuit of Bliss podcast. My name is Kristen. I'm a self-professed health, spirituality, and mindset junkie. You know that blissful happiness you feel when you're just at peace with yourself, living fully in the present moment? That's the feeling I believe we are all in the pursuit of. And I want to help you get one step closer by up-leveling your health, mindset, and love for yourself. Because that lasting and blissful happiness can only be found and created within. So get ready for all things mindset, holistic health, and spirituality. I hope this serves you. Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Pursuit of Bliss podcast. I have been sitting here. I am on the floor of my living room because this is where I'm recording my podcast today. And I've been sitting here for an hour and a half with my computer set up and my mic here. And I have my little page of like bullet points of what I wanted to touch on. And I have not been able to get myself to start recording. And I usually don't have a problem with that. I think it's because of the topic I've chosen for today. It's a topic that I felt really called to share about because it's been a huge part of my growth, my journey, and my healing in the past, I don't know, 8 months, 10 months, year, really the past decade of my life. And I know that almost every client I've worked with recently has had this come up for them. And I put a poll on Instagram and so many of you are struggling or grappling with this as well. And I haven't felt ready to share about this journey yet, but then I don't know if I'll ever be fully feeling ready to share because it's an edgy subject. And the subject is sex and specifically shame around sex and moving through that. And I think that there's so much noise out there. You know, religion tells you one thing, super spiritual people tell you another thing, the media tells you another thing. There's so much confusion, so much noise, and so much buildup of shame in so many women when it comes to our bodies, our sexuality, our sexual experiences, what we choose for our sexual experiences, the people or men that we choose. There's so much here, and I've had such an intense and deep and also traumatic journey with sex and my sexuality. So I'm feeling really called to share it because I think there's got to be women out there who are meant to hear this or I wouldn't feel so called to share it. So I'm going to share my journey with sex, sexuality, and shame around sex and sexuality in this episode. Before I do that, I'm going to give you a quick little life update. So I am leaving from the time I'm recording this, by the time this is published, I'll probably already be there, but I'm leaving in a few days for Greece, which is really surreal. My first retreat that I'm leaving, which is so exciting. I'm meeting 10 incredible women there, and we're going to spend a week together on an island in Greece. So stay tuned for updates on that and future retreat experiences, which I do want to plan. This has been a dream of mine for almost 4 years now. To lead in-person experiences, events, and retreats. And it feels really like it's a dream come true. My dreams are literally coming true before my eyes. So if you feel called to in-person experiences, just keep your eyes peeled for those opportunities in the next few months as I announce them. I also have my magnetic course, which is enrollment is open right now. We are going to start the week of May 8th. I actually intended for it to start this week. However, the timing obviously didn't work out with me going to Greece. I don't want to start while I am in Greece, out of the country, have the retreat, want to stay present with all of that. So it'll be starting in May. With that said, the timing does feel really right. It just truly is divine timing because I'm already experiencing so many breakthroughs and lessons and so much is coming through that I'm going to be adding to the course experience, this topic being one of them, sexuality, sensuality, and shame, because we cannot talk about magnetism and opening to receive everything you desire and, you know, achieving your dreams, etc., without talking about our sexuality. This course is the first time actually ever that I'm leading a live course. I've never done this before. I've done masterminds. I've done a lot of one-on-one. I've done recorded courses. I've never led a live course, but this one so very clearly was asking to be live. It felt so clear and right and resonant in my entire body and being that this was meant to be a live teaching, because I want to be playing off of the energy of the women who are in the group. I do believe it's going to be very catered to the women who do join. We already have so many women in, and it's such a beautiful group. We just had our orientation call together. So if you are feeling called to join Magnetic, it's going to be based on the teachings are really going to be a journey home to yourself. And the thing about this work is I've been a little bit hesitant to share the results of this work that my clients have been experiencing. And you know, this work really is coming back to your heart, coming back to your body, opening your heart, connecting to your womb, connecting with God, really restoring yourself to your original feminine design. And it's really powerful work. And the reason I've been hesitant to share the results is because I don't want people coming to work with me because they simply want the results. Because the results look a lot like what the manifestation results used to look like when I taught manifestation. The results look a lot like, you know, I have women who are meeting their soulmates, women who are suddenly leaving toxic and abusive relationships when they were never able to before, women who are suddenly making the money and the wealth that they always desired to out of nowhere, women who suddenly have men showing up and supporting them in ways that they never have before, women who are suddenly being offered their dream jobs literally out of nowhere. It's nonstop. And on top of that, of course, the internal peace and all of the other pieces. But the reason I haven't been sharing any of these results up until this point is because I don't want people working with me because they simply want to make money, or they simply want to meet their soulmate, or they simply want their dream job. That stuff is amazing. And, you know, obviously we live in a material world for a reason. God created a material world for a reason. I do think that we're meant to enjoy it and it's safe to have these desires, but I don't simply want to help anyone receive the end goal or the desires. There is so much depth in the actual opening of your heart, in the connecting with God, in the connecting with yourself, in the creating of internal freedom, in the creating of internal peace. And yes, a happy result and effect of this work often gets to be the physical things. When you create more room to receive and spaciousness and you connect to yourself, you become magnetic, literally, to what is meant for you. That doesn't mean that we get to control what comes into our lives, but oftentimes the blessings that have been waiting to drop in begin to show up when you do this work. So this work is really, really powerful. And I know there are women out there who are meant to be in Magnetic, which is why the timing didn't work out to start the week I wanted it to. It was pushed off for a reason. I know that God is calling a few more women to join, but I want you to be really clear around your energy. If you feel called to Magnetic because you simply want to manifest more money or call in your soulmate, this is not the right program for you. And once again, it's okay to have those desires. If you feel called because you feel called to this work, you feel ready to have your heart cracked open, you feel ready to release these layers of trauma, you feel ready to reconnect with God no matter how triggering, you feel ready to come back home to your body, to restore yourself to your feminine essence, this is for you. And yes, everything else gets to be the effect of that. So anyways, it's been quite a few minutes of me jabbering on about this now. I hope I did not bore you or lose you, because now I want to get into the juice of this episode. With that said, if Magnetic does call to you, registration is now open. The link with all of the information is going to be in the show notes. Feel free to reach out to me either on Instagram at Pursuit of Bliss with an underscore, or email me kristenjenna@pursuitofbliss.com with questions. Now, let's get into the juice of this episode and let's start talking about sex. So I want to share my story with you. I want to share my story, which spans back more than a decade. Started when I was about 15, maybe even 14. My journey with sex and my body and the trauma, the extreme trauma that was created around it, and where that took me. And then I'm going to get into how I healed from all of that trauma and shame, because I had so much shame. And then I want to share with you why it's so important and why we can't talk about magnetism and why we can't talk about receiving and why we can't talk about God without talking about sex in our bodies. So I'm going to start with my journey. We rewind back to when I was maybe 14 or 15, and I think I've shared this story a few times, even on recent podcast episodes, so I won't go too deep into the details, but I had an experience in church where we were taught that sex is really, really bad. You shouldn't be doing it, right? Pastor's daughters were there, everyone preaching about how sex is bad and dirty, and basically, I don't remember exactly the words that were said. I could have created a lot of this in my own head, but what I took away from it is that God won't love you if you are a sexual being, if you have sex, if you even think about having sex. Love is conditional from God, and you are basically dirty and a bad person if you have sex or are a sexual being that should be repressed. And in fact, you need to go convince all of your friends, your teenage friends with raging hormones, that they also should not be thinking about sex or having sex. Now, I don't want to totally hate on my church experiences because I had so many beautiful church experiences in the church I went to as a teenager. I took myself there on my own every weekend and to this high school group I was in that used to talk about sex. And I had a lot of really beautiful experiences where I first really connected with God in a really beautiful way. I really, really felt him in my church experiences. But at the same time, I had a lot of church experiences and religious experiences that created a lot of trauma for me that took me a decade really to work through. I've only just worked through a lot of it in the past year or two. There is so much religious dogma that I don't align with or believe in, but that is a topic for another episode and another day. I want to talk about how this experience learning about sex in church, where it took me and how it affected me. So you've probably heard part of this story before if you listened to my podcast, but I remember being at school in the parking lot, studying my pages I was given about, you know, how to convince my friends that sex is bad, and just fully traumatizing experiences for a teenager to literally go into high school and try to convince her friends that sex is bad. And not only did I try to do that, but I convinced myself that it was bad. And I convinced myself that I wanted to wait until marriage. And I'm not hating on waiting until marriage. I think that that can be a really beautiful, beautiful thing. I think conscious celibacy is really wonderful and really beautiful when you're doing it from a place of knowing in a deeply embodied way the beauty and intimacy and wonder that is sex, and knowing, understanding the intimacy that comes from having sexual experiences with another person, and knowing how sacred it is, and really being this kind of divine guardian of your body. And that is a completely different energy from where I was, which was, I'm waiting until marriage because sex is bad and dirty, and if I have anything to do with it, God is going to hate me, and I need to make sure that God loves me so that I'm not sent to hell, right? That was very traumatic for me, looking back, to have and hold that belief. That belief was coming, all my actions around sex were coming from shame and fear. And we know that anything coming from shame and fear will end in attracting more shame and fear and magnetizing that shame and fear in your reality, even if the actions you're taking seem like positive actions. So that's where I was in high school, entered college, still kind of in the same mindset. Until about my senior year, things started to change. My eyes started to be opened a little bit. I changed my mind about sex probably around my senior year of college. This was also the same time that I kind of stopped believing in God, I actually shouldn't say that. I don't know fully that I stopped believing in God. I just stopped wanting anything to do with God if he existed. I didn't want anything to do with a God who would not love me or would punish me or thought I was dirty if I acknowledged my sexuality. And I actually believe that my experience with, you know, this being my first experience really with the concept of sexuality and learning about it being so negative and traumatizing and really almost like strict. It's almost like, you know, there's that stereotype of a girl who has really strict parents or, you know, pastor parents. You see it in the movies. Like, I can't think of the movies I'm thinking of, but I've seen movies with this theme. You get the girl who has super strict, super religious parents. Maybe they're not religious. And, you know, then when she becomes an adult, she kind of goes wild. You see the stereotype all over the place. And that's kind of what I experienced. And obviously it wasn't my parents. It was my experiences with this youth group in church. But and not just the experiences with the youth group, but the projections and judgments that I took away from my experiences, the stories that I created in my head around what I learned in youth group. I want to make that clear because the leaders of this youth group did not have bad intentions. It was almost like I had that experience. It wasn't my parents, but it was almost this self-created restriction that I created because of the stories that I believed to be true and projections I believed to be true and judgments I believed to be true about God, about sex, from my experiences in church. And therefore, after I kind of got out of that, freed myself from it, I moved to the opposite end of the spectrum where I completely rebelled and totally put that stereotype that I just talked about. Completely rebelled. I had sex for the first time when I was 21, I think, actually right before I turned 22. And I remember feeling so guilty. Like, I remember specifically thinking, I need to lose my virginity because I'm going to get made fun of. You know, anytime a guy meets me and I'm serious about him and I have to tell him that I lost my virginity later than 22, right, he's going to judge me. I had these crazy thoughts in my head that I was so behind and everyone else was more sexual than me and I needed to catch up. And just such a switch from one polarity to the other. And from that point on began my one night stand period of my life. Started kind of slow. And then I would say around the age of maybe 23, I was like all the way, like deeply in it. I was sleeping with sometimes 2 to 3 guys in a weekend. Definitely, you know, 2 different guys a week was completely normal for me. At that time period, I was a self-proclaimed man-eater or, you know, quote-unquote player, and I was so proud of it. And I remember my friends used to literally look up for me for this. I was the girl in the friend group who, you know, would sleep around and wouldn't catch feelings. And I was the one using the guys. And it was like really empowering and right, feminism, right? Take control of your sexuality, sleep with whoever you want. Don't worry about commitment. And I was like fully playing that role. And it was almost like I was protecting myself, right? Like if I just use guys, they can't use me if I use them first. And I was so proud of myself. My friends all pumped me up, thought it was so cool, used to ask me how I did it. And it gave me this sense of, I don't know, validation. And when I look back, I realize there were so many things happening here, right? Like, number one, I had left God and without realizing it, I was seeking him and everything else. I was seeking to feel something. I was seeking for meaning, for purpose, for love, for all of the things that really couldn't be found outside of God. But I was seeking, and for a long time it was sex. And I also felt really unloved. I felt really unloved and kind of dirty and gross and not desirable because of all of those experiences and believing that, you know, God couldn't love me if I was a sexual person. And yet just, I think that created this paradigm in my mind of I am unlovable because there's a sexual side of me, because I am sexual. And so I wanted so badly to prove that wrong to myself that I began to sleep with everyone because I wanted to feel lovable. I wanted to feel desired. I wanted to know that I could be empowered in my sexuality, that I could still be loved. And so I was seeking that love through validation from men, that desirability. I had also, in a really extreme way, shut down my heart completely. I think not only had I been so hurt by religion, religious dogma, my experiences with the church, and not just the ones I shared, but there were other experiences which are not a story for this podcast, but I'd been so hurt by all of that. And not only that, but I'd had such painful experiences with men up until that point. And, you know, oftentimes the view that we have of God, if you had a view of God growing up, gets projected on men. So I felt that God had abandoned me, that he had betrayed me. You know, he had created me as this sexual human being, but then he betrayed me and abandoned me when he refused to love me, quote unquote, refused to love me because of my sexuality. And obviously this was just a story in my head. This is not the truth as I now know, but that is what I believed. And I felt so abandoned and betrayed by God. And I projected that on men. I suddenly felt really unsafe around men, didn't believe they were trustworthy, believed I had to always control my experiences. And that led me to also attracting experiences with men where I was constantly being betrayed and abandoned. And honestly, that is a pattern that lasted almost an entire decade that I really just broke through less than a year ago for the first time ever. And I've had such different experiences since then. But, you know, in my early 20s, I had really traumatic experiences with men. Like, we don't even need to go into it. And I'm sure so many of you can relate. And, you know, I obviously did play a part in a lot of those experiences. I had a lot of distrust. I was extremely closed off and shut down because of my distrust in men, which came from my distrust in God. And I chose the wrong people over and over and over and was really hurt because of it. And so I completely shut down my heart because of all of those experiences. So fast forward to me, 23, 24 years old, continuing to give my body to men over and over and over in order to feel something. And every single time, my body shut down a little bit more. My heart shut down a little bit more. Because every time you say yes to penetration with a man, when your body is not yes to something entering her, you know, I shouldn't just say penetration from a man or penetration from yourself. This can also be a self-pleasure. Every time you say yes to penetration and your body is saying no, your yoni is saying no, your womb is saying no, your heart is saying no, you have betrayed the trust of your body. Your body shuts down a little bit more. And so every time I overrode my body's own boundaries, every time I said yes when my body was saying no, my body shut down a little bit more and I lost a little bit more trust with my body and I pulled myself out of my body even more. So after years of this, I was so disconnected from my body, so ungrounded, living in my mind because my body didn't feel safe to live in. My heart was completely shut down, so guarded, so protected, I was numb. So not only had I numbed myself off from pain, which is why I had the ability to sleep with so many men and quote unquote feel nothing, which wasn't completely true. Not only had I numbed myself from pain, but I had also numbed myself from pleasure because you can't do one without the other. And for this reason, I also, until the age of maybe 26, didn't have an orgasm, that really was a deeply fulfilling orgasm until maybe the age of 28, you know, when I first really experienced sex with a man that I was actually in love with. And this is also after doing so much work on beginning to open my heart. And I still don't believe I've had the best orgasms I'll ever have. Actually, I know that absolutely to be true because my heart still wasn't wide open at that point, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So I wasn't able to have orgasms, even though I was having a ton of sex for many, many, many years. And not only that, what I didn't realize was that I had an inability to really experience pleasure, not just sexual pleasure, but pleasure in many areas of life. I was unable to experience deep joy. And for that reason, I was continuing to seek to feel more through sexual experiences. And it was this never-ending loop and spiral. And so what unconscious sex often does, what's really happening is it's two people who are using each other's bodies to numb, to repress pain, or as an attempt to feel something, as an attempt to connect to something in a deeper way, which is not possible when having unconscious sex. Sex is really sacred and it's created to be a really intimate experience, and it's actually a pathway to connect more deeply with God when it is used in a conscious way. I don't even like saying the word use, maybe not when it's used in a conscious way, but when you take part in a sexual experience in a really conscious way, in a really safe way, where your entire body and soul is a full yes, and there is no part of you being left behind, abandoned, betrayed, or overridden in the sexual experience. And so many of us grow up learning to abandon, betray, or override our own boundaries or certain parts of ourselves, our body, our soul, or our hearts. within sexual experiences. And then we wonder why we're so closed off. We wonder why we're numb. We wonder why we can't feel. We wonder why we struggle to receive and effortlessly create the things we desire in our lives when, you know, all of our creation power lives within our womb, right? Our womb is literally where birth and life come from. It's where all creation comes from, all creativity comes from. When our womb is shut down, when we are disconnected from our bodies, we are disconnected from our force of creation. We co-create with God through the power in our wombs. And obviously, I'm speaking to women here. But this is why we can't talk about magnetism and magnetizing what's meant for you and co-creation with God without talking about sex and our bodies and our sexuality and our wombs and our yonis. We hold so much of our co-creational power within our bodies, within our yonis, within our wombs, and also within our hearts. And so when we view sex really unconsciously and we hold a lot of shame, most likely our bodies feel really unsafe for us to fully inhabit. And therefore, it is very challenging to fully open up and receive what is meant for you and let out your innate magnetism, which is already existing within you, if we don't deal with our sexual traumas and our sexual pain and our sexual shame and we don't heal. What I want you to know, if you resonate with any of this and you have any kind of sexual shame or trauma or whatever is existing for you, I want you to know that there is a way out. There is so much healing on the other side. There is freedom. I've worked with so many women who have shame around sex or, you know, have only had painful sex even within their partnerships, their marriages. I've spoken with women who are terrified of sex or have never experienced orgasms in their lives or, you know, a million different stories. I've worked with so many women and I've also seen so much healing happen within these women when they were willing to face those parts of themselves with acceptance and love and begin to really move through them and bring them to God. I don't know if you can hear that meow in the background, but my cat is agreeing with me very vocally so. And I have also experienced extreme transformation in my sexuality, which I'm going to share more of my healing journey, what that looked like, where I am now. But I feel like a new woman in terms of my sexuality, my body, my relationship with sex. I feel empowered. I feel solid. I feel grounded. I feel safe in my body. I feel connected to myself and my womb and all of the things. So my goal for this episode is not for you to suddenly feel judged or scared because you realize how much pain you're holding or how shut down you feel you are, etc. That's not the goal. What I want you to really understand is that no matter what's there, there is a way out of it. And that we were created to experience pleasure. God doesn't make mistakes. I believe that He created us perfectly and He created us exactly as we are on purpose. I don't believe that He made us humans with a sexual side and sexuality just to shame us, just to blame us, just to call us dirty. I believe that we were created to thrive within our sexuality when we operate within our sexuality in the way that we were designed to originally. I believe that when we are operating within our bodies and our sexuality in the way that we are designed to, a sexual experience gets to bring us closer to God and closer to ourselves, and it gets to bring in more love. And at the same time, if we want to connect this to money, to men, to everything else you want to receive in your life, right? Energetically speaking, feminine is created to receive, masculine is created to penetrate, obviously physically as well. That is, of course, how sex works. But if we look at this in an energetic way, if we feel unsafe around receiving penetration from a man, or if our body is storing that story and that belief, that's going to get projected in other forms of masculine energy. We're also going to feel unsafe being penetrated by money, being penetrated by God, being penetrated by life itself, because all masculine energy is a penetrating force. So once again, sex cannot be left out of this conversation, which is why I felt so called to speak on it. Okay, so let's move on to my healing journey. So I keep saying obviously when a lot of this probably is not obvious. So not obviously, but when I was around 25, I did realize that I had some work to do around my sexuality and that I felt really numb and really blocked, and I didn't understand why I was having so much quote unquote great sex, or so I thought at the time, on my one night stands. I thought I was having a lot of really good sex, and I thought I was connected to myself and I was super spiritual. I'd had a spiritual awakening, like I knew all the things, I was really conscious, or so I thought. And I was like, why can't I have an orgasm? Why have I not cried in 5 years? What's going on? So hired a coach to get support, and we worked a lot on, you know, my sexuality and tantra and all the things. And, you know, we were quote unquote healing while I was on the healing journey with my sexuality. But looking back, I really think it just re-traumatized me. I was kind of pushed to create a quote unquote self-pleasure practice every single day, and to make sure that I was spending time every single day in self-pleasure and given all these rituals and practices that I was almost forcing myself to do, even when I didn't feel ready for a lot of them. And it was like every day for hours, I'd be working on myself and working on my body and self-pleasure practices all the time. And the goal was always orgasm. When am I going to get to orgasm? Maybe this ritual will do it. Maybe this self-pleasure practice will finally lead me there. Maybe this new crystal wand is going to finally bring me to orgasm. And it was so goal-oriented, which once again re-traumatized my body. It was me using my body to attain something, to achieve something, to receive something, to reach a goal. Unconditional love, by definition, cannot be unconditional if there is a goal at the end of it. That is conditional love. That is, I love you for what you can give me. And that's what I was expressing to my body at that time. I love you for what you can give me. And I'm going to love you less if we don't achieve this goal. That was kind of this space that I was operating in at that time. And I was so clueless. I had no idea that I was re-traumatizing myself with all of these practices and with this orientation of achieving this goal of orgasm and feeling like I had to be like, it's almost like I felt like there was something wrong with me, right? Like I can't be this feminine, spiritual, enlightened, at the time that was my goal, woman, if I'm not having orgasms. I see all over the internet and Instagram all these beautiful, powerful, empowered tantra teachers who are just sexy dancing all over Instagram and having orgasms when they eat a chocolate dessert and all of these things, and I'm unable to experience any pleasure. What's wrong with me? Little did I know, I didn't need 2 hours of self-pleasure practices a day and expensive crystal wands. I just needed to open my heart. But that wasn't the experience I received. And I do think I still received a lot from those experiences. I learned a lot about myself and sexuality. But at the same time, it wasn't the healing experience that I wanted it or expected it to be. At the time, I thought it was. But looking back now, I know it wasn't. It was even more traumatic. And it was almost like this facade. And I know from speaking to women who've been in the tantra space that many women have had similar experiences that re-traumatize them. And I don't want to shit on the tantra space because there's a lot of beauty in it and a lot of really beautiful, wonderful, heart-centered teachers who are fully in integrity. But then the shadow side of it is that there's a lot of teachers who are not in integrity. And there's a really deep, dark shadow side to tantra and sexual teachings on Instagram and on the internet and in the coaching space. And I was kind of sucked into a lot of that, not realizing how damaging it actually truly was. So at that point, I thought I had been magically sexually healed and went on to continue to have one night stands. And continued to think that as long as I continued with my self-pleasure practices, I would be, you know, on my way to enlightenment, on my way to becoming this multiple orgasmic woman that I saw all over Instagram. Not that anything's wrong with, you know, having multiple orgasms and being an orgasmic woman, but I think that especially back when this was taking place in my life, like quite a few years ago, that the tantra space was really big and it was common to sell women this facade of becoming this, you know, orgasmic woman who experiences life basically in an orgasmic state all day long. And I think that's a lot less common now. Actually, I don't know. Maybe I'm just out of that space. But that image was kind of like the goal for me. And obviously, I never got there because you can't force your way into pleasure. So yes to all of the pleasure. Yes to multiple orgasms. Yes to deep, deep, deep feeling. No to forcing it. No to pedestaling all of that. No to believing that the solution to all of your sexual traumas is more self-pleasure. And in fact, like I said, that can be even more traumatic because what happens is we've already been overriding our body and our intuition and our soul. I was already overriding my body, intuition, and soul by letting men in me, into my field, into my body, when my body, intuition, and soul were all saying no. I was already crossing my own body's boundaries, and then I began to do it with self-pleasure. I began to, sorry if this is graphic for anyone, but I want to share the full extent of this story. I began to penetrate myself, right, whether it was with fingers or a wand or something else, without asking my body's permission, before my body was actually ready to be penetrated at all, before she felt safe to have anything or anyone inside of her or even near her. So I was over and over and over re-traumatizing and continuing to teach my body that her needs came last. Even in my self-pleasure practices that were supposed to bring me so much pleasure, so much healing, and so many orgasms. And, eventually I did teach myself to have orgasms, but my body was even more traumatized as a result of these practices. So even though I, quote unquote, reached the goal, I was actually 10 steps backward because of it. It's not all about the end goal. It's about how you get there, and it's about your integrity and intentions along the way. So it wasn't until I began to do some real deep healing, and I mean, not the kind that's focused on sex or the kind that's focused on mindset, but embodiment, where I began to work with coaches who took me deep into my body, who began to really help me crack completely open. And we were never honestly really focused on sexuality. It was just focused on de-armoring the layers of my heart and releasing and purging and letting go of stories and all of this deep somatic body work, which is now the work I do with my clients. And I naturally and organically began to heal my relationship with my sexuality and release a lot of shame. And I began to end my era of life where I was sleeping around with everyone and no longer found validation and pride in that. So I found a lot of healing there, but then my problem began to be that I wasn't sleeping around with everyone. I would have just one partner, but the partners I was choosing weren't partners who truly, really honored me, who my body felt completely safe with. And, a lot of the internet might call this trauma bonds, and I've talked about trauma bond experiences before on the podcast. Don't want to go deep into that today, but I've had specifically two trauma bond experiences where I felt like deeply, deeply in love with someone, but it wasn't a relationship that my body felt safe in. And so, yes, the sex was more connected and it was only with one person and it felt a lot better in comparison to what I'd experienced, but my heart still wasn't open all the way. I wasn't open all the way to receive the right person. And I saw this quote on Instagram today, which is so true. And it's, if you have an abandonment wound, that is your wounding, you will continue to choose people who leave you. You will find people who leave you. You will be attracted to people who will abandon you. It's like you feel that energetic thread in them, and it feels safe because it's what you know, it's what's comfortable. And at the same time, we get with emotionally unavailable men, and then we say, where are all the emotionally available men? Why aren't they here? Where are they, right? The problem is them. When in reality, every emotionally unavailable man that you're with is a reflection of your own emotional unavailability. It's not them. It's you. It's both of you. It's a two-way street. And so the men that I was with, although I had, grown a lot, healed a lot, they were still reflecting my emotional unavailability and reflecting my inability to really listen to my body, to stay within my body, to be in tune with my body. And honestly, in these experiences, I never was able to fully inhabit or ground or drop into my body entirely, because a part of me knew if I did that, I would have to reject these men. If I was fully inhabited and grounded within my body, I would not be able to ignore what my body was telling me. And so it wasn't until I had even deeper healing experiences and created enough safety in my body to really ground into my body that I began to really listen to her in all of the ways. And learning to listen to my body and trust her and honor her boundaries was a process that took me years to get to. It wasn't an overnight process. Building that trust back again with her took me years to get to where I am now. So a lot of the healing I had to experience looked like creating safety in my body again, slowly moving at her pace, letting my body lead me. It looked like opening my heart wide open for the first time again with support, connecting to my womb again, slowly allowing her to gently open and to experience life in connection with my body, like really dropping deeply into my body and living from my body, which I hadn't done probably since I was a child. My body always felt unsafe and I never realized it, but I was always living in my mind because I felt safer there. It looked like releasing a lot of the pain and anguish I was holding on to because, yeah, I was super proud when I was sleeping around that I wasn't feeling anything and I could handle it, but I was feeling. It's just that the feelings were getting pushed down and repressed, and they had to come out when I finally opened my heart and connected to my body. So with support, I was finally able to release a lot of that. And when I released all of that, it became a lot easier to move into a place of forgiveness. There was a lot of forgiveness that had to happen. Forgiveness of myself for allowing my boundaries to be crossed, for crossing my own boundaries, for allowing my body to be used. Forgiveness of myself for abandoning and betraying myself over and over and over, for choosing the wrong people, really trusting and acknowledging that I was doing the best I could at the time. And everything I was doing to receive love in the only way that I knew how. And I couldn't shame myself for that, for the version of myself who just wanted to feel loved and didn't know how. And so she tried in the only way that was available to her at the time. Who also kind of, you know, I fell for all of the empowerment messages out there, being empowered in your sexuality as a female or a feminist, which I thought I was at the time, means sleeping with as many men as you please, never considering the ramifications of that, or how it really disconnects you from your body, which that's a whole another topic, how a lot of forms of feminism and empowerment, especially from that time period, but also today, are actually carefully crafted to disconnect us from our bodies, our hearts, and our wombs, from our very feminine core. So I also had to do a lot of deep forgiveness work around the men that I had been with, a lot of releasing. Every time we sleep with someone, we receive something from them. We hold on to their energy within our own body. So there's a lot of release work that needs to be done, a lot of dense energy that actually wasn't mine to hold on to, that I was holding within my womb, within my yoni. So releasing all of that and really forgiving all of the men that I felt had used me or betrayed me or abandoning me, and realizing that in the same way I was abandoning myself, they were abandoning themselves. All of us were acting because we wanted to feel loved unconsciously. The human drive is always to feel love. And while that does not let men off the hook for their actions, it did help me come to terms with a lot of my experiences and come to a place of forgiveness within myself and to really release a lot of those men, especially the ones that I had actual emotional experiences or relationships with. I also slowly released all of the shame that I didn't realize I was holding, you know, in one-on-one work with mentors and myself, which is bringing this shame to God and realizing, wait, he's willing to love me here. I can't love myself here yet, but I can give myself the opportunity to let love in from God. And that was probably the biggest shift for me, was realizing, wait a second, even in all of my sexual shame and my sexual experiences, God still loves me. There's nothing I can do that would make him love me any less. Oh, that was powerful for me, because I'd been hiding this part of myself from him for my entire adult life. And so choosing, you know, to bring this into the light and bring it to him was really powerful for me, paradigm shattering for me. And, you know, that's not to say that God doesn't already see all parts of us. He does. But we also have free will, and we get to choose what parts we consciously bring to him. And so we get to choose which parts of our lives we feel him in and which parts we don't. And the parts that we don't feel him in are usually the parts of our lives we feel the most shame, and we're hiding those parts. We're sending those parts into our shadows because they feel the most unlovable, and we don't want to lose love. And we project the unconditional love we experience from, you know, fallible human beings in our lives onto God. So really bringing these parts of myself that felt the most shameful to God and letting him hold these parts of me and love these parts of me was so healing, and receiving love around the parts of myself I felt the most shameful with, especially in my sexuality and sexual experiences and sexual past, changed my heart. When that happened, it was like something shifted. And honestly, since that healing stage, because I've had multiple healing stages in my journey, that started my journey of celibacy, conscious celibacy, which I'm going to talk more about in a little bit. I want to finish this part about healing. So bringing it to God was, I think, the most powerful part of my healing journey. And then also bringing it to women that I felt really safe with and really loved by. And this was really scary for me. Sharing my imperfections around sexuality and my shame points around my sexual experiences with women who I was perceiving in my mind to be, you know, so much more holy than me or divine than me or spiritual than me. And I've got to be the only woman in the spiritual space who struggled with sex and her sexual experiences and holds shame, right? Like, those are the thoughts that I think we all have. We all feel alone in our shame. And even if it's not sexual, the parts of ourselves that we feel the most unlovable in, we all feel alone. We all feel like we're the only one, when in reality, we never are, which is why I'm sharing this story so openly and vulnerably, to show you I'm not perfect and I hold a lot of shame. And so it wasn't until about a year ago that I really began to have deep, deep, deep healing around my sexuality, like really bringing it to God, bringing it to these women, which is why I always say there is really nothing more powerful in this human realm than sisterhood who come together in union with God, in devotion to God. Being able to bring things to that sisterhood, my deepest shame to that sisterhood, transformed me in ways that I'd never experienced before, in ways that one-on-one work can't bring us, that really nothing else can bring us, which is why I continue to host sisterhood experiences, and which is why we're going to be going through sexual healing experiences in Magnetic, and which is why, you know, every woman who is meant to be in Magnetic is called there by God, because he knows who is meant to be in this sisterhood. He knows, you know, who is meant to be in this space together, because every sisterhood I've ever held or created or been in has become a really powerful space that holds its own healing energy. It's like a healing vortex, just being a part of it, whether or not you're actually interacting in it. It is like a vacuum of love and acceptance and healing that happens through God really being channeled through an entire group who is holding this energy of complete, unconditional acceptance, love, and devotion. So that is a lot of what my healing journey looked like on the outside. I know I'm going to get a lot of questions like, Kristen, what specific practices did you use? Like, what can I do right now from home? And I want to stay away from that, because this journey is so nonlinear. It is so nonlinear. It happens in our body. It's deeply embodied and somatic. It's not, I want to stay away from giving you a 5-step process you can do to begin to heal all this on your own. That's not what this journey is. You can't have a goal of fixing this part of yourself or getting it out of you. This is not a goal-led process. This is a heart-led process. This is a God-led process. Connect with God. Connect with your heart. Let God guide you through this experience, knowing that he will bring you the people, the experiences, the sisterhood, whatever it is that you're needing in your life to guide you through the process of whatever healing you need to have. You no longer have to be your own self-healer all the time. You no longer have to be in charge of your own healing all the time. You no longer have to make sure you're constantly healing or fixing yourself. You get to let God lead you through that experience and trust him, and trust that he is going to move your heart when the time is right for a shift in your experiences, or for you to work with someone, or show up in a different way, or move through a specific trigger, or release something within your body. He's going to lead you there, and you're going to know, and your only job is to trust him so deeply that you're able to trust when he moves in your heart, or when he asks you to go someplace to interact with someone, to lean into something. Let him lead you and guide you. Let that be your daily prayer. You must be open to it and ready for it, but you also don't need to control it. And a lot of healing around sexuality and sexual shame and sex is not going to actually look like talking or speaking about sex itself. A lot of it is going to be de-armoring your heart and reconnecting to your body and womb and letting them lead you. it's so nonlinear. Like, it's really hard to explain these processes in words because it's these processes cannot be actually described in words that we have in the human language. And I keep saying it's so nonlinear, but it is. It is so hard to explain embodiment, somatic processes, and nonlinear healing in words with our very limited human language. So I'm now in a place where I have been consciously celibate for coming on, I think, 9 months now, which is probably the longest I've gone since I first started having sex. I don't think I've ever gone this long before. And it didn't happen on purpose in the beginning. I didn't say I'm going to stop having sex. It's just truly it was like something moved in my heart. God moved in my heart and suddenly I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to have sexual experiences even if I was feeling connected to someone. It's just I suddenly was so in tune with my body and so in tune with God that it felt and feels repulsive to let someone in who is not completely right. And it's like they've got to go by God first. I am fully led by God right now. A man who wants to get to me has got to come through God. And there has not yet been a man who God has said yes to. And I see myself as this divine protector of my body. And this is why I have so much safety with my body right now, because I'm fully honoring my body and fully listening to her and allowing her to lead me completely. And allowing God to also be that guardian of any man has to go through God first. And if they are not led by God, they are not qualified to lead me. And this is simply my belief for my life. And I'm not saying that has to be your belief or that you need to adopt that belief. But that's where I am. And that's what is true to me right now at this stage in my life. And I'm also not saying that I'm going to wait until marriage or that I'm going to be celibate for a certain number of days or years. I have no rules or limitations. I'm following my heart and I'm letting God lead me in this experience. And that's all I know to be true right now. And I also know that it feels so good to feel so good in this space. And in this space of conscious celibacy, so much has come up. It's like you don't know what you're running away from, what you're repressing, or what you're numbing until you stop the activity or the experience that was numbing or repressing or pushing something away. And for me, for a long time, it was sex, not even realizing it. Even really good connected sex with men that I was in love with was still partly being used as a mechanism to push something away, to numb something, to feel something, to avoid something. It was never truly 100% conscious, connected, and God was not a part of those experiences for the most part. And many of us feel so shameful about God and sex that we don't include God in our sexuality. Right? Like we'll bring our money problems to God. We'll bring our love problems to God, but we don't bring sex to him. We don't talk to God about sex. We don't even want to think about him when it comes to sex because it feels so dirty and shameful. When in reality, God created sex. He created our bodies to have sex and not just to have sex, but for it to feel really damn good. That was not a mistake. Sex is so sacred and beautiful. And I believe that when you're having sex with someone who can fully hold you, who is led by God, not only will your body feel safe and you'll automatically feel safe to surrender to him, but that experience is going to bring you closer to God. I believe that when we restore ourselves to our natural design, our innate design, our organic design, to our bodies the way they were designed to function and operate, everything that we do from this place brings us closer to God, including sex. And when you truly have opened your heart and deeply connected to your body and are in complete union and surrender to God, which can take a long time to get to, and I'm not telling anyone to force this or that this is where you should be. This is simply where I am, and I am speaking to what I am experiencing in my life right now. But when you do that, or I should say when I have done that, I naturally no longer can allow anyone into my field or body who is not completely and unconditionally led by God, ready to hold me, all of me, and who feels really, really safe to my entire system. And right now, that means celibacy because that man has not arrived. He has not shown up in my reality, and that's okay because it feels really good to be where I am. I honestly never thought I could be someone who was celibate for any extended period of time because my whole life has been run by my sexuality. I've always been an extremely sexual person. And I believe that we are all extremely sexual humans. We all just repress it to different degrees or experience it or embody it to different degrees. but I've realized that I can be an extremely sexual person and also really honor my body and what she's asking of me in every single moment. And once again, I want to really reiterate that I'm not saying this because I want to judge you or shame you or tell you that you should be, you know, on a consciously celibate journey like I am. That's not the point of this at all, because I remember even a year ago listening to people talk about, you know, their journeys with celibacy or not having sex or whatever, and feeling just like, oh, that is so not for me. Like, I remember even trying to force myself into that and I couldn't do it. And when it didn't last, I shamed myself and spiraled deeper into my shame and trauma. And I just wasn't ready at the time. And if that's you, that's okay. I'm not trying to say that my way is the right way or the only way, or that my path is like more holy than yours. That is not what I'm saying. I don't think that anything should be forced. And if we force ourselves somewhere because we think it's the right thing and it's really coming from shame, it's going to harm us more than it helps us. I believe the goal is not to reach a specific goal, a specific physical goal, whether that's orgasm or celibacy or anything. I believe that the goal is always, how can I connect more deeply to my heart? How can I connect more deeply to God? Knowing that the more I open my heart, the more I connect to God and let His love in, the more His love will change my heart. And that will naturally change the way that I am living without me having to even try. That is the goal. And honestly, I don't like using the word goal. It feels icky. Maybe that's the intention. Seeking God first and allowing God to move in our hearts first and foremost, rather than feeling shamed into decisions or actions or life paths because we won't feel lovable otherwise. That is not the way. That is not what I want you to take away from this. What I want you to take away from this is that no matter where you are in your sexual journey or experiences, you are so lovable and so worthy, and God does not love you and is not capable of loving you any less because of the way you have experienced sex or your body or your sexuality. And it's my belief that God is pursuing you and He wants to love you. And I believe that He is loving us through all of it, through everything, through every mistake, through every shameful experience, through all of our pain. He's loving us and holding us in here through all of it. And He never left. And I believe that He knows that it's the unconditional love that will heal us, change us, and move us. It's no more of this good girl paradigm where I need to be a good girl and follow all of the rules that God loves me. More of, God already loves me right now regardless of how I'm showing up, and it's His love that will change me. I don't need to force myself into changing myself or my life in order to appease God or earn His love. In fact, it's me opening to receive His love now in all of my mess and imperfections and chaos and pain and trauma that will allow my life to naturally change the way that He desires and the way that I desire deep within my soul and my heart. That is the new paradigm. Letting love change you. But not self-love, not your own love, God's love. That was a lot. I hope that this spoke to you. I've been honestly a little bit nervous about sharing these experiences. It's obviously very vulnerable and messy, and this was really a surface level summary still, because it's hard to sum up a decade of sexual experiences and trauma and healing in a 1 hour podcast episode. But I hope that something here resonated with you. I hope you took something away. I really hope it served you. And if you are feeling called to diving deeper into this work, that is why I created Magnetic. And it is my first live offering that is not high ticket in years, right? Working with me one-on-one is anywhere from $6,000 to $13,000. And so I'm offering this live experience where you'll actually get to receive support from me for the first time for like a tenth of that price. So link to that is in the show notes. If you have questions, please reach out to me, DM me on Instagram, send me an email. I'm at Pursuit of Bliss with an underscore on Instagram, Chris and Jenna at pursuitofbliss.com by email. If this episode spoke to you, it means the absolute world to me. Seriously, when you all leave reviews for me on iTunes, on the podcast app, it brings me to tears and it really helps me and the podcast to reach more people, because this is the central part of my business. This is how I get my message out there. This is my heart and soul. Like, Instagram is great and all, but my podcast is the heart and soul of me and my business. So means the world to me when you guys leave me reviews, when you share, when you repost on Instagram. I really appreciate it. It really touches my heart. And just want to thank you for being here and listening to everything I have to say and witnessing me on my journey. And I am sending you lots of love to wherever you are in the world and wherever you are on your journey. And I love you lots, and I'll talk to you next week.